Let us pray. Holy One, send us your Spirit, and let your word be with us. Let your word settle in close to our hearts, so that we may know the way of life you offer us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading today comes from 1 Kings 19. Listen for a word from God. King Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how Elijah had killed all of her prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me terribly if by this time tomorrow I don't kill you, just as you killed those prophets." When Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life, taking his servant with him. And when they came to Beersheba in Judah, Elijah left his servant there. Elijah walked for a whole day into the desert, and he sat down under a solitary broom tree. There he asked that he might die. "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." Elijah looked, and there was a loaf of caked bread that was baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and laid down again. Later, the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food made him strong enough to walk for 40 days and nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. There Elijah went into a cave and stayed all night. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to Elijah, "Go stand in front of me on the mountain, and I will pass by you." Then a very strong wind blew until it caused the mountain to fall apart and large rocks to break in front of the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are now trying to kill me too." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have any of you guys ever heard stories about Old Dry Fry? Well, I grew up listening to stories of Old Dry Fry. He's kind of a fried chicken-loving preacher that turns up in a lot of Appalachian folk stories. But this, I'm going to tell you a story about young Dry Fry, long before he became a preacher, when he was still living with his mama. Now, Dry Fry was a type of child who couldn't seem to remember anything. He was always walking around with his head in the clouds, and his mama was about to wash a bunch of clothes. She had her washboard, and she had drawn water from the well. She filled a wooden barrel 3/4 full of water, and then she realized that she barely had any soap left. "So, son," she said to Dry Fry, "I want you to go to the store and buy me some soap." And just to make sure he remembered, she made him repeat it over and over again. Soap, soap, soap. Soap, soap, soap. And he said, soap, soap, soap. Soap, soap, soap. And so off he went, walking down the road, saying, soap, soap, soap. Soap, soap, soap. But as young Dry Fry was walking along, he slipped in the wet Tennessee clay along the side of the road and fell flat on his tail. He got up and wiped himself off, but as he started to walk, he had forgotten what he was going to the store for. Have any of you guys been there? Yeah. So he walked back to where he fell, and he said, here I had it, there I lost it. Here I had it, there I lost it. So off he went, walking down the road, saying, here I had it, there I lost it. And as he was walking, he passed an old man in faded bib overalls who was walking opposite of Dry Fry. And he stopped when he saw Dry Fry looking confused. He tried to ask the boy what he had lost, and Dry Fry just kept repeating, here I had it, there I lost it. Here I had it, there I lost it. And as the man came closer, he fell too on the slippery clay and landed on his own behind. This made the guy so angry that he shook his finger at Dry Fry and he said, you should say, sorry I did it, won't do it again. So Dry Fry said, sorry I did it, won't do it again. And he walked off down the road saying to himself, sorry I did it, won't do it again. Until he passed a woman who had been knocked down by someone while she was on her way home from the store. She was angry and demanded to know who had bumped into her. And just then, Dry Fry walked past, still saying, sorry I did it, won't do it again. She, trying to get up from the mud, grabbed Dry Fry by the arm and ended up throwing him in the mud as well. And she said, I'm out and you're in. Then she left her groceries in the mud and stomped off. So Dry Fry got up and he started walking to the store saying, I'm out and you're in. I'm out and you're in. I'm out and you're in. Until he passed a man who was pushing a two-wheeled cart and one of the wheels was stuck in the Tennessee clay. And that's when Dry Fry came by saying, I'm out and you're in. The man heard it and thought Dry Fry was talking to him. He was furious and he shouted, you shouldn't say that. You should say, one's out, get the other one out. So Dry Fry went on his way saying, one's out, get the other one out. Until he passed by a woman who had only one eye. She was not pleased with his commentary, and she said, you should say, one's in anyway. So Dry Fry went on the road saying, one's in anyway, one's in anyway, and he passed by a bridge over a creek where two little boys were playing. Excuse me. One of the boys fell in the creek just as Dry Fry was walking by saying, one's in anyway. Now, the mother of the boys was not too pleased about this, and she said, and she told Dry Fry about himself. She said, all this time, spent in the day in the med, she looked at him and said, you need a bath, Dry Fry, and be sure to use lots of soap. And finally, Dry Fry remembered, soap, 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 soap. So Dry Fry walked straight to the store, he got soap, and he carried it back to his mama, where he took a bath and used lots of soap. And his mama was amazed that Dry Fry had remembered exactly what she wanted. So the scripture story today, this is Elijah's moment of here I had it, there I lost it. Elijah is one of the greatest prophets in the Hebrew scriptures, right? He is the father of all prophets. And his story includes signs and wonders and miracles, all pointing back to God's relationship with Israel and God's calling to the covenant. Elijah's arch nemesis was King Ahab and his Canaanite wife named Jezebel. Yes, that Jezebel. During a drought, Elijah was fed by ravens. And then he went to a widow who was able to feed him because she had a magically never-ending jar of flour and jar of oil. When this widow's son died, Elijah called to Yahweh to bring him back to life. And God did. Later on, Elijah challenged 450 prophets of Baal to a contest to see which God was real. And say that they both built altars and prayed to the gods. Excuse me. but only the God of Israel was able to set the altar ablaze. So after all of these signs and wonders, why in Elijah's story does he now get afraid and run away? It seems awfully out of character for him. He is this powerful person of God. What happened to cause this crisis of faith? Where did he lose his confidence? Let me get some water. As I can blame him for my coughing. So Elijah was wondering, so we're wondering, why did Elijah lose his confidence in God's protective care after seeing all these miracles? And have you ever lost something, like your keys or your phone, and you ask somebody to help you find it? What's the first thing they say? Where's the last place you remember seeing it? And so that's what Elijah's doing. He has lost his confidence in God, and so he's going back not just to the place that he remembers, but that the Hebrew people remember being so close to God. He goes back to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. This is the place where the people of God were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they didn't have enough water. And so Moses strikes a rock, and fresh water pours forth. This is also the place in that same story where it's attributed to where God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Elijah, who's kind of lost his mojo, goes back to the place where he remembers his people's connection to Yahweh. He remembers that. He wants to find what is lost. And this is what's happening on the mountain. Elijah is trying to reconnect to the God of his people, to remember who he is and whose he is. But my favorite part of the story comes before this, when Elijah is walking into the wilderness at first and he falls asleep under a broom tree. In my voice, this angel that appears to him to give him bread and water sounds very southern. Get up and eat. He was so lost and afraid, and he was tired. When I was working with college students, they would often come to me in times of crisis, and I would say, when was the last time you ate a meal with vegetables? When was the last time you slept for 8 full hours? When was the last time you took a walk? And I would say, do those things and then come back, and we'll see how much of a crisis is still there and what is manageable. In our life, those physical needs, that exhaustion and hunger, makes everything seem worse. It's just like they say, you know, all crises are worse in the middle of the night when you're lost and alone and afraid. And so eating and resting is an important part of Elijah's journey to remember himself, to remember who he is and whose he is. And he goes on from there. He walks 40 days and 40 nights, which isn't an exact measure of time. It's supposed to remind us of the Hebrews wandering in the wilderness. He walks and walks and walks until he comes to a cave. And then God says, "What are you doing here? I didn't call you here. I didn't tell you to come to Mount Horeb. You had important work to do in Israel. But what has brought you here?" And God listens to Elijah's complaint. He lays it out very clearly. "I have been very zealous for the Lord, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant." Like I said, Elijah was kind of the grandfather of prophets. He's one of the forefathers of our faith. He's somebody who we look up to and we hold space for. When Jesus is on the mountain for the transfiguration and two figures show up in white beside them, one is Moses and the other is Elijah. And when folks in the Jewish community celebrate Seder, they pour a cup for Elijah to hold a space for him. He's somebody that we remember as a great person of impact. And so God wants to know what Elijah is doing here. And Elijah explains why he is afraid and that he feels alone. He says, "I am left alone." This past week, I went to a concert with my dad to kind of celebrate Father's Day. His favorite band was still in town, and fortunately, some of them were still alive to sing. We got to hear Three Dog Night, and if you guys, anybody knows the band, one of their famous songs is, "One is the Loneliest Number." And that's what Elijah is saying. He says, "I feel alone. I alone am left." But who is he talking to? He's talking to God, so he's obviously not entirely alone. Something about crisis and exhaustion makes us feel more alone than we ever are. And even we hear this reference at the beginning to Elijah's servant that he leaves in Beersheba. This is the servant who's going to become a prophet after him. So he feels alone, but he is not entirely alone. And God comes to him, not in the big mountains, not in the earthquake, but in the silence. And I wonder if God was really in that silence all along, and Elijah had just lost the ability to hear it. So at the end, after this amazing encounter with God, God gives Elijah some very Presbyterian and specific instructions. He says, when you return, you're going to appoint a new king. And if you keep reading on past our verses for today, it's a long line. God is basically telling Elijah to set up a new system of leadership, to divide responsibilities, to bring in a new ruler. He gives him a way to build a structure that will maybe continue on his work. And in many ways, this role of the prophet is also to help us remember what we have lost, to help us return to the place where we were once close to Yahweh. In the Hebrew scriptures, prophets are not fortune tellers like they are in other cultures, but instead their job was to speak on behalf of the God of Israel. They were the guardians of the covenant. They had some very specific roles. They called out idolatry and injustice, especially to the kings and the people of Israel and Judah. They reminded them of their role, not just to work for their own success, but to be a light for all nations. They called them back to obey the laws of the Torah, those Ten Commandments, the foundation of the law back at Mount Horeb where Elijah has returned to. And they called the people to return and repent to God, to come back to what they have lost. And by holding kings and rulers and people accountable, the prophets play this very important role in the history of God's community. When Elijah had forgotten who he was and whose he was, he allowed fear to take him away from his role as prophet. But when God's voice came to him, he remembered who and whose he was. You know, there's many prophets today still among us. And there's a few things that I think we as the people of faith should do when we encounter them. The first is to listen. The role of the prophet is to help us remember God and what God has called us to. And so if we think that there's a prophetic word speaking, if somebody is speaking the word of God in our midst, the first job is to listen to them. Even and especially if they're saying something we don't want to hear. The whole process of Presbyterian decision-making is structured around the idea of helping us as a community listen to the word of God. The next thing we should do is to feed them. The role of being a prophet is a really difficult job. It is often lonely, and you're challenging systems and structures. You're telling people things they don't want to hear. And so like the angel that feeds Elijah under the broom tree, sometimes we're called to feed the prophets. When you see someone who is working hard to follow God, who feels alone and lonely and worn down, that is the time to offer hospitality. And that is an important work of God. And finally, sometimes we're not just called to listen to them or feed them, but sometimes we're called to be them. To be the people who are speaking the word of God even when it's not what people want to hear. Now, that's not the same as being a contrarian, and it's definitely not the same as being the devil's advocate, but it's listening closely to God and what God is calling us to do and being brave enough to name that, even when it's an unpopular opinion. We are all called to speak with a prophetic voice at times. It's not just a role left to the heroes of the Bible or to people that wear the big black robes and stoles. We are all people of faith who are listening to the word of God. So tomorrow is a federal holiday. Did you guys know this? Yeah. Tomorrow is the first year that we're celebrating Juneteenth. And this is the celebration of when the enslaved people in Texas finally heard that the Emancipation Proclamation had freed them. So it's an important remembrance, not just that when Abraham Lincoln said this, but when it finally got to the people that needed to hear this message of freedom. And I think there's a prophetic word in this remembrance, a calling to see and know our own history, a calling about when to celebrate and when to listen. I think that was a prophetic voice that led us to this new time. So as we move forward into the summer, I ask you to be especially attuned to what you are being called to and called back to. Listen for the people, the prophets who help us connect back to God when we think we've lost. Listen to those voices among us, and when that still small voice, the voice of sheer silence, comes up in you, listen for the word that God is calling you to bring to the people. When Elijah was lost and forgotten, he came to God and God came to him and showed up and connected to him in the sheer silence and reminded him what he was doing there and who he was doing it for. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.